My brothers and sisters in Christ, how many of you have had a particularly wonderful time so far this Lent? It's not exactly a wonderful time of the year for us who head out into the desert with our Lord. A lot of times if we are doing exactly what we want to, or what our Lord is asking us to do during Lent, things don't go our way. We run into so many difficulties and we realize how attached we are to the things of this world. And so the church at the beginning of Lent invites us to follow our Lord out into the desert in the meditation in these readings. Think about how Christ came into the world so poor. At Christmas time, he was born in a stable. He never really had much money at all. He was completely poor, and yet what happens? He goes out into the desert where there's nothing but a wilderness. Can he become even poorer? How does he who is so poor become even poorer? He became poor in order to honor the Father, to do the Father's will. He goes out into the desert in order to make war with the devil and to make war with sin. Remember, sin, up until this time, until the time of Christ, reigns in the world. People are completely subject to sin, and there's no way for anyone to be freed of it other than the law, which tells them that they can't sin. They're completely subject to it. And so Jesus is going out to fight that. He's going to fight that. And so he does that especially through his fasting. He's going out to do this especially in imitation of what he will do at the end of Lent, as he goes to carry the cross. He's fasting and he's praying. He's going to be rejected by his friends, and he's going to be challenged by the chief priests and the elders, the cruel soldiers. Jesus is being tempted this week. And so if he's going to be tempted, if Jesus is going out to fight against the evil one, can you and I, when we enter into the Lenten season, can we expect anything different? None of us are better than our Lord. We wouldn't dare say that. And so if Jesus, who is poor, who is perfect, is tempted, we shouldn't be so surprised if we are tempted. If things didn't go well for Jesus, what encouragement that should give us when things don't go well for us. When we follow him, we should be aware that our Lord is teaching us a tremendous amount today. We should become aware of the devil and what he is up to. Last spring in our conference, the priest who presented to us said that we should be aware of what the devil has in his playbook against us, what he's up to, what is his plan. To get our eyes on that playbook would be very helpful to us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that Jesus, for instance, is hungry. And so he proposes a false remedy for that hunger. We should be aware of what is in the devil's playbook for us. And we do that especially by examining our conscience, by taking a good assessment of our own selves and what it is that is happening in our own lives. We can tell those places in our life where we are weak. We can be honest about what it is that we sin, where we struggle with sin, where that temptation comes. Temptation is part of our lives in this world. We can't have a Christian life and not be tempted at some point. That comes for each one of us. And so to know what those temptations are is to know what the devil's playbook says about us and where he's going to attack us. If there's a hurt in our lives, if there's a place where we have been hurt, or if there's a place where we've hurt others and we haven't asked forgiveness, the devil knows that we're susceptible in those places. And he comes and he can get us in that vulnerability. He knows, for instance, that Jesus, the Savior, is supposed to come and reign all over all the nations. And so this is why he comes to him and says, I can give you all these nations. They're all under my power, in my grasp. All you have to do is worship me. And so the powerful temptation against Christ to fulfill his mission just like that, rather than having to go and do this. The powerful temptation of Christ, and Jesus says to him, get away from me, Satan. I don't want anything to do with you. I know that your words are cunning, but you tricked our first parents. You got them in a moment of doubt. I've come to turn that around. So to be aware of the ways that the devil works against us, where he catches us in our vulnerabilities, where he says, is that what God really said? Did he say he would be there for you? I thought God said he would send his angels to catch you if you fall. How come you fell? And so to be aware of the words of Christ. Even the devil can use the words of Scripture against us. And so it's so important that we have somebody to preach the word to us who will tell us the truth, not just what we want to hear. And so, who is the one that the devil is going to tempt? It's a person who's following Christ. Or to think about it in the opposite direction, who is the one that the devil is not going to tempt? Who's the one that the devil is just going to leave alone? It's a person who isn't following Christ. The person who is sinning. The person who's comfortable in their sins. Doing everything that they want to do. That's the person that the devil's not going to bug. And so if we see somebody who does evil and gets away with it, we shouldn't be jealous of them. We shouldn't think, well, how come? There is an injustice there for sure. But the devil is leaving them alone to go their own way. Who is the one that the devil gives trouble to? It's those who are saints. Those who are following Christ faithfully. Those are the ones who are tempted, especially in the most miserable ways, in the most difficult of ways. The devil comes to tempt our Lord. It's like he doesn't know who he is. And to some extent, he doesn't. He really thinks that Jesus will follow him. He thinks there's a possibility. My brothers and sisters, Jesus put the devil in his place today. And he will do that for us. Jesus will come into our lives and will make a real problem for the evil one. Remember that even our Blessed Mother, she reversed what Eve did. Eve said, well, maybe God doesn't love us. And she ate that fruit. The Blessed Mother, she said to God, I will do whatever you tell me. And because of that, she is depicted as crushing the serpent under her foot, crushing his head. Especially his head. You can crush the serpent's body, it doesn't matter. Mary crushes his head because she says, let it be done to me according to your word. I will follow you. Christ says that too in the agony in the garden. He says, Father, if this cup can pass me by, let it be. But not my will, but your will be done. And so the remedy, the way to fight the temptations of the evil one, as he comes to us and as he tempts us, as he surely will this week even, is to be fervent in our prayers. Christ in the agony in the garden was praying. The angel then came to him. The angel came to our Blessed Mother when Mary was in prayer and said, Mary, for God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So God comes to us, particularly in prayer, and I think that's what we need to take away with us this week, is that if Christ is going to go into the desert and fast, he's also going there to pray. And you and I, as we go into Lent, we have to pray. We have to pray. How is it that we're praying. Let's not make it too complex, as if we all have to move into a monastery. We have to all move into a convent. God wants us to be praying right where we are, in the church, at home, at work, in the car. These are the places where God wants us to pray. We can't do any better, just to be upfront, we can't do any better than coming to Mass. When we come to Mass, Jesus is truly present to us. He's here in the Blessed Sacrament. He speaks to us. Come to Mass, even during the week, and listen to the words of Christ and receive Him in the Holy Eucharist. The prayers of the Mass are the most powerful because Christ is literally at work through the priest and through the people praying. Christ is present. So Holy Mass, take time for a holy hour. Come into the church maybe once a week during our time of adoration. It's beautiful to see so many there. Come to adoration. Sit in front of Jesus and listen to Him. He loves you so much. He loves us so much. Taking that time to be silent with Christ, Him looking at us and we looking at Him. That the devil is freaked out by that. He's bewildered by that. He can't work when we are in the presence of Christ, in love with Him. So the time for Holy Hour, the Stations of the Cross, following Jesus. You can come into church even if when we're not praying the Stations of the Cross, and just go to each one of the stations and think about our Lord falling under the cross, being nailed to the cross, dying on the cross, our Mother Mary holding His dead body in her arms. This prayerful approach to the life of Christ will shatter the devil's playbook for us. We dismantle all his plans for us as we meditate on the Stations of the Cross. And then, of course, your daily prayers in your home, before your meal, right away when you get up in the morning, when that person in front of you is driving crazy, or behind you, to say your prayers before you go to bed at night. My brothers and sisters, Lent is a difficult season for those of us who are Christians, who are following Christ, because we are followers of Christ. Let us fortify ourselves for this season by praying fervently, by talking to God, who speaks to us and hears us in our need and in our weakness. He hears us and He forgives us in the sacrament of confession. Let's prepare our hearts now to receive Him in the Holy Eucharist, who is going to feed us so that we have the strength this week to do all that He is calling us to do.